really here at the very heart of the gospel. Now, friends, think of it this way. If we come close to the heart of the gospel, we will find the heart of Jesus. A heart full of love and concern for those who trust him. And the Lord's Supper is a powerful reminder of Jesus' passion for us. And therefore, celebrating the Lord's Supper is God's way of instilling that same passion in us. Wherever followers of Jesus Christ celebrate this supper, Jesus will turn it into a special blessing for them. That's what he has promised, and that's what he'll do. But friends, we only will experience this blessing if we celebrate it with the right heart. And that's why we have to carefully listen to what Jesus says. And we'll concentrate on the words you'll find in verse 19, where Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now let's first spend some time in the story we just read. We begin at verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed." Now, unless you are familiar with the Old Testament, I assume this sentence doesn't make much sense to you. So allow me to tell that story. For Jesus' death has a direct connection with what's called here the Passover lamb. Passover is a Jewish feast that the Lord had instituted in Israel to remind them of two things. First, of this: it is the Lord who once liberated his people of Israel from a horrible slavery under the Egyptians. Since Egypt was unwilling to let go of their cheap labor force, the Lord had forced them. 10 plagues brought the Egyptian king finally to the point of saying, "Please, leave this country. We can't handle the pressure your God puts on us any longer." And then in the night of the 10th plague, all the firstborn of the Egyptian population had died. And then the Egyptians realized that the lives of all of them were hanging by a thread. Such was the power of the God of Israel. But miraculously, under the Israelites, no one had died. For on the Lord's command, they had slaughtered a lamb and put its blood over their doors. And the message in that was, "You'll be safe behind the blood of the lamb." So their houses were passed over when the angel of the Lord killed all the firstborn in Egypt. And every year since, the Israelites had sacrificed this Passover lamb as a reminder of God's great salvation, saved by the blood of the lamb. And then connected with this feast of the Passover lamb was the days of unleavened bread. Let's just think about that for a moment. Leaven in our flour makes the dough rise and produces nice bread. But actually, it is a process of decay, of rot. And therefore, Israel for a few days had to remove all leaven or yeast from their houses as a symbol of purity and holiness before the Lord. In him and with him, there is no such thing as decay. So these were the two elements of the Jewish Passover. It was about salvation. your life saved by the blood of the Lamb and about beginning of a life of purity. No place for sin in your life from now on. Now, when Jesus celebrates this Passover with his disciples, in the night before he dies, something very special happens. Jesus takes the meaning of the Passover feast, salvation and purity of new life, and he applies that to himself. And now he says this, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That is what I've come for. I will sacrifice my life. I will be the Passover lamb myself to save my people. And I've been looking forward to the day that I can share this with you. Not that Jesus is looking forward to his suffering. He dreads it. And he knows it will take everything out of him, even his very life. And yet, he desired to come to this point with his disciples that he can openly share his life's secret. He had come to die. He had come to be slaughtered like a lamb. But his blood, and that's the beauty of it, his blood will provide life for all those who believe in him. And as the Passover meal progresses, he takes bread and gives it to every one of them. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Eat in the understanding that I am giving you new life, a pure life, and therefore an everlasting life. It's in me. And therefore, eat this and do this in remembrance of me. Very familiar words to us. We read them almost every time when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So let's dwell on these words for a moment. What does it mean to remember? I guess it is to turn in your mind to something familiar to you. An object, or a person, an idea, or whatever. Now such remembering can be purely historical. Names of people you've met, places you've been. And they do not much to you when you think of them. They're only facts of the past that you can remember. But then there are also other memories. Memories that still have an emotional impact on you. Good memories can make me smile, can make me smile or feel grateful. I cherish them. Bad memories still hurt and make me sad all over again. Do you recognize that? Remember someone in your life whom you really loved, but who's not there anymore? And every time you think of that person, your emotions are stirred. There's a longing in your heart. I wish I could be with him again. Or I wish I could share my thoughts with her. Now, it's this kind of emotional response in our hearts that Jesus aims at when he says, do this in remembrance of me. Because he wants our hearts to respond to him with warmth and love. And he wants to stir our passion for him. Well, friends, such a reaction is only possible when the Holy Spirit has entered into your heart. We always pray to be touched by the preaching of the word through the power of the Spirit. But in the same way, we should pray for being touched by the symbols in the Lord's Supper. And I say this because I know it is possible to listen to the preaching of the gospel year after year without ever being touched in your hearts. And that's the same with the Holy Supper. You can know with your mind what it means, You say, yes, it's about the death of Jesus. And it might well be that such a memory doesn't touch you at all. It fails to comfort you or to give you any passion for the Lord. And I pray that that would not be the case with any of us who celebrates the Lord's Supper. Because that would be destructive for our life and the church. Because I believe that we can only truly love each other if our heart has responded to the love of the Lord Jesus for us. In other words, we all must have or strive for and pray for a saving knowledge of Jesus. Not only a knowledge that you understand what he came for or what he taught, but a saving knowledge that you know he is mine and I am his. Remember last week when we spoke about the necessity of repentance, and then I quoted the old Heidelberg Catechism, and it says this: true repentance is experiencing a heartfelt sorrow that we have grieved God with our sin, and at the same time it's a heartfelt joy and love and delight to do good works. Now take note of that word heartfelt. That's the touch of the Spirit I'm talking about. They say, I repent, Lord. It hurts me that I have grieved you with my sin. And Lord, I do thank you for forgiving me. And I long for you with all my heart. Remember that song, My Jesus, I love you. I know you are mine. For you, all the follies of sin are resigned. Friends, do you remember the day that you first understood the gospel, that you experienced, as the Apostle Paul says, that the love of God was poured out into your heart? Or the joy of receiving this wonderful assurance in your heart, I'm adopted, I belong, eternal life is mine. That's a wonderful memory. And it touched all your emotions somehow. But as it is with emotions, they are transient. They pass. And we don't feel the same way anymore after a while. And that's why we need fresh blessings. We need something to be able to return to this first experience of Jesus' love and his grace. And that is exactly what Jesus provides for in the Lord's Supper. Remember me. I gave my life for you, and I shed my blood for your sins. I am your Savior. Remember me. And when I do that, when I do what he commands, then my spirit and my heart respond, oh Lord Jesus, I do love you. There's none like you. Let me be your servant. Friends, I pray that we would all experience this. Now, I like to be practical about these things. So how do we best benefit from the Lord's table and participating in that? And just think of it. What goes through your mind when it's served? You might think, how embarrassing to stand up. What may people think of me? Or you might think, while talking about food, what are we having for tea tonight? Or don't you ever have thoughts like that? I fear we all have now and then. Because our mind is always inclined to wander. And therefore we have to discipline ourselves to focus on what we're doing here. Because only then you will be blessed by the celebration if you concentrate on what it is all about. Now, we don't have to think, all of us, the very same thing, but it just open yourself with the believing heart to the Holy Spirit and resist any thoughts that may distract you. Think, for instance, of the great love of God that he would invite you at this table. Or dwell for a while on the wrath of God that will certainly come over unconfessed sins. Imagine that it's not the minister who is standing here and handing out bread and wine, but it's Jesus himself. See, I do not know what each of you thinks when you celebrate the Lord's Supper. I don't know what's on your mind, what you're struggling with. I have no idea. At least not about most people. But Jesus, when he would be here and celebrate with us, he would know exactly what you think, what's in your mind, whether you have truly repented, whether you want to change your life. Now, ask yourself the question then, if he would be here, would I still be able to accept bread and wine from his hands, realizing what it had cost him? Or would I turn away in shame, perhaps? Just think about that and do something with it, and you'll be blessed. So Jesus is saying to you, remember me. And then he says to you, one day I'll drink the wine anew with you when this world has passed away. And ask yourself, do you look forward to that day? Really? Because the kingdom of God is about him. Heaven is about him. Even a new earth would be boring if it wasn't for the presence of Jesus himself there. It's another element I'd like to ask your attention for, and that's the appropriateness of this symbol. We are reminded in the Lord's Supper that the Lord Jesus died for us. His birth couldn't save us. His miracles couldn't save us. His teaching couldn't save us. But his death opened life for us. And that is why he has given us this sacrament, to remind us of his suffering and death. If we give people a picture of ourselves so that they may remember us, we make sure that we are dressed up nice, that we have combed our hair, and that we show a big smile, don't we? We'd like to be remembered with a happy smile. But now the Lord Jesus, he wants to be remembered by a picture of his suffering, his pain, his death. Remember me. Then remember my death for you. Now, why is the picture of bread and wine so appropriate? Now, think of it where this bread comes from. It started with ears of grain, which were ripped from the soil. And they were beaten to get the wheat out. And they were ground into flour. And finally made into bread. Isn't that what happened to the life of the Lord Jesus? Think of the grapes. They are cut from the vine, squeezed and crushed until the juice flows. Wasn't the body of our Lord bruised for our transgressions until he sweated blood? But in this way, his body became our bread of life. And his blood became our source of joy. So therefore, what an incredible, suitable symbol this is. The piece of bread has written all over it, I witness to you that your salvation has been accomplished by my death. Believe me. Now to return where we started. The big celebration of the Old Covenant was the Passover feast. Life saved through the blood of the Passover lamb. And combined with that, a feast of unleavened bread. Speaking about our calling to a holy life before the Lord. But now Jesus brings a new covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood, not in the blood of the Lamb anymore, not the old covenant, the new covenant is in my blood. And his promise to you is this: if you trust in me, you'll not perish, but have eternal life. So do you still wonder whether you are worthy to participate? Do you have sins on your conscience where you lose the battle for purity time and again? Think of this. Would Jesus not know about that? About your battle? Actually, he expected that you would have a battle. That's what his whole Lord's Supper is all about. Because Jesus has already counted on our weakness and our failures. And he has decided to cover them as well with his own blood. But you have to repent and to believe in him. So here he says, for you it is, you struggling sinner, don't forget that I am constantly praying that you would not be led into temptation. I'm constantly praying that you will overcome any sin that still masters you. I hope you do understand that we can't be casual about this. I'm not saying here in any way at all that your sins do not really matter to God. They do. But we have been given a powerful means to overcome them. Take the Lord's Supper with a heart of faith, with an eagerness to embrace your Savior, with a desire to grow in love and in holiness to the honor of your Lord. What a picture, friends. And what a glorious wisdom of God to give us such a speaking symbol. Do this in remembrance of me. Be rekindled in your passion for the Lord. And be blessed. Amen. Let's sing a song now. I will glory in my Redeemer. That's what we want to do. The Redeemer is our Lord.